Now, I got a question in the mail yesterday. A man said he heard me say on a sermon that the teaching of a place of safety was a false doctrine. And I don't recall ever saying that, but it must have been a misunderstanding of the sermons that I did on the rapture. And the rapture is a false doctrine. So let's look at it here. Let's come to Revelation 12, and let's see about the place of safety. Now, everyone wants to go to a place of safety. However, not everyone is going to go. Now, while we're coming to Revelation 12, here is the scripture. You don't have to turn there, but it's in Luke 21, where Jesus said, "Watch therefore and pray at all times that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass." And so a lot of people have been busy praying, "Oh God, I don't want to go through the Great Tribulation." Well, who wants to go through the Great Tribulation when you read all the stuff having to do with the Great Tribulation? Well, in our church history, we were pretty well convinced of the teaching that in 1972, the church was going to be taken to a place of safety, and that Christ would return in 1975. And so everyone was caught up in that, because they would read that scripture, and I remember how many sermons would come down. "Brethren, pray that you'll be able to escape all these things." Oh yes, I don't want that to happen. So when it became apparent that there wasn't going to be anything happen in 1972, then they came up with some lame brain excuse as to why it didn't happen. But I remember the chief apostle saying just the week before, "Well, we may go next week to a place of safety. It's supposed to be the first week in January. But it may not be." So everyone's on pins and needles and on edge. So then, instead of going to a place of safety, he had an announcement as to what came instead of going to a place of safety. They now had ads in the Reader's Digest. How's that for a bait and switch? Okay. So everyone wants to go. Now, let's read it beginning here in verse 13 of Revelation 12. And we're also going to see that this disproves the rapture to heaven, if you read it carefully. All right? Now, the dragon was cast down, verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the man-child. Now, the woman in this case then becomes the church. It starts out as the bride of Christ, verse 1 and 2, then the rebellion of Satan the devil, then it turns into the woman who brought forth the man-child who was to rule the world with a rod of iron, so that had to be Mary. And now it becomes the church. So right within this prophecy, the symbolism of a woman is used in three different ways, not the same all the way through. Now notice, verse 14, "And two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman so that she might fly to her place in the wilderness where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time from the face of the serpent." All right? Time, times, and half a time, 3.5 years. This is the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the last 7. Now, where did she go to? Where was she taken? To a wilderness. Where's the wilderness? Everyone figured the place of safety was going to be Petra. Now, Petra's over in Jordan, just across the border from the Holy Land. and there were, everyone was preparing to go to Petra. There were even those who wanted to make sure that if the word came down, that we're going to Petra, and they said the word would come down from the chief apostle to all the evangelists, to the district superintendents, and they would call all the pastors, and all the pastors would call the brethren, and everybody be ready to go. So there were some people who had a Petra box in the trunk of their cars, so when they went to Sabbath services, in case it happened on Sabbath, they'd have everything ready to go. You know, you have your Petra box, you have your little stuff that you need to take, you got your Bible and whatever else you're gonna take, okay? They forgot the scripture which says, pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath, okay? So, where's it going to be? Well, in the wilderness. Could it be Petra? Don't know. Is it possible? Yes. But we're going to see some other scriptures about what happens if you're planning on going. Because maybe God's selection may not fit your plan. See? Okay. So here's what happened. The serpent cast water out of his mouth as a river so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon had cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was furious with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed. Now, the King James says remnant. Now, that's not in the Greek. Remnant means a small remainder, like on a bolt of cloth, where it's wrapped up with lots of cloth, and then they take it down, and there's a remnant. No, the rest of her seed. The rest does not tell us how many. It may be even more than those who go to a place of safety, because if you do any study on Petra, so if you're on the internet, go online and look up Petra, and think about how you would like to live there 3.5 years in rock caves, you know, no running water, you know, no magnificent palace bathrooms or anything like that, you see? No air mattresses, Fred. Yes, you learn to sleep on the rock. Now, if you want something soft, you go where there is some sand and you scoop it out to form your body and you lie in it until the scorpions get you, I guess. No. Okay. Now notice, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now when war is made against them, they're killed, right? Yes. Now, since most of the world, except those who belong to God or don't want to have the mark of the beast, they're going to be able to track down human beings whether they have them or not. I mean, the other night, just to give you an example, this is just a little teeny thing. They've got all kinds of ways of tracking people, and they're even trying to figure out now how that they could by remote control, if they had a soldier who was going against the commands of the commanders, could press a button and by remote control, kill them right on the spot. So, you know, how far down the road is all of this going to be, see? We don't know. I'm going to give some sermons on transhumanism. And if God lets that develop like it appears it was before the flood, we got a lot of time and a lot of strange things are going to happen. So we've got to be prepared. But here we go. They keep the commandments of God, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, but do not have the mark of the beast. What happens when you don't have the mark of the beast or you won't worship its image? You're killed. All right? Let's look at the point. So first of all, prior to the 3.5 years, there's a time of persecution against the church. The persecution is going to separate out. God is going to make his decision at that time. Who's going to go to a place of safety and who's not? Then we're going to see why some are taken to a place of safety and others are not. And who makes that decision? Because it was said that once it got down to the local pastor was to call all the brethren and let them know. What if your phone was out? What if your phone was busy? What if the minister didn't like you and said, I'm not going to call this person here, see? You know, and then you go through the tribulation, you get martyred, and, you know, you're raised to the sea of glass, and you're on the sea of glass, and you meet Christ for the first time, and he says, boy, I'm sure glad you made it. Oh, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Well, you know, you were supposed to go to a place of safety, but this minister over here, he had a grudge against you and didn't call you, so you weren't able to go. Oh, Lord, why did you let that happen? See? Well, just be thankful you're here, see? Okay. Well, no, it isn't going to be that way. Who is going to make the selection? See? Okay. Now, how does this disprove the rapture? Very simple. They say in the rapture you're caught up into heaven. Is heaven a wilderness? Has it ever been pictured as a wilderness? No. Quite the opposite. I mean, even the Muslims know heaven's not a wilderness. Okay? So you can say, well, the wilderness, that's not in heaven. Okay? Now, who is going to go? Okay? Let's come here to Luke 17. Okay? Question is, there are even some churches of God today which say, we are the only one, and if you're not in this church, you're not going to a place of safety. See? And the leader of that church even went over to Jordan to try and work out a deal with King Hussein over there so that the church could go over there. Others tried to work out something with airlines so we get a big discount. Hey, we're all going to go, so, you know, there's going to be a big discount. You know, can you get us over to Jordan? You know, are you ready to ride a camel or a donkey? Or are you ready to walk barefooted in the hot sand? Okay. So the question is, how is God going to separate it out? All right, let's come to Luke 17 and let's see what Jesus says. And we'll find out. Wings of a great eagle show that is God's supernatural way of taking them by the angels. You read in the Psalms about in the shadow of your wings and under the protection of your wings. So this is under God's protection. Are the angels ministering spirits to those who are called to salvation? Yes. Remember when Peter was put into prison and he got out and he went knocking on the door at Mark's house and the girl came to the door and said, oh, Peter's angel is out there. You know, and Peter was out there, no, it's me. You know. So they finally let him in and told him what happened. Okay, so let's see what it says here. Verse 26, Luke 17. Now as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. All right, let's just put a little caveat right here. The way we understand what was really going on before the flood was that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And so just a little advertisement for the transhuman sermons that I'm going to give. Whatever we are doing today, they were doing then. And God's punishment is always just. So the question is, why did he destroy all human life except for Noah's family, all the beasts, all the birds, all the crawling things? The only ones that got fat at that time were sharks and flesh-eating fish. And the flood was not a little drippy, drippy, drippy over here in one little corner of the world. it covered the mountains by 15 cubits. All right? That is 27 feet of water. Now, I also suppose that there were some of those who had little boats, and they thought, well, you know, Noah goes in the ark, and if it happens, we'll get in our little boat. Well, they probably got in their little boat until the first 100-foot tsunami came along, and that took care of it, see. No one's going to go against God. So they were doing more than that. Verse 28, and it was the same way in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planning, they were building. Plus all of the other activities that they have, all the sexual perversions and bestiality and pedophile and things like that. And I need to give a sermon on that, what they're teaching to 11 and 12-year-olds in schools in New York, and it's mandated in California as well. And that's a real shocker when you read that. Oh, no, we teach that abstinence is the best. But, hey, little kiddies, here's how you do everything. What do you think they're going to do? All right, let's go on. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven, and it destroyed them all. Now, they know that down in the Dead Sea Valley down there, you go along and up to a certain point, it's nothing but sand. Then you get to that point, and you find sulfur balls, various size of sulfur balls. And these have such a heat potential that if you take a sulfur ball and put it in a teaspoon and light it, it will melt all the way through. And they're just scattered all over the sand. And if you look at what is thought to be where Sodom was, they actually had rock buildings. And you can see the outline of the buildings. Destroyed everything. All right. This is how it shall be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. What is the first revelation of the coming of the Son of Man? What is the first revelation? Not the rolling back of the heavens. Okay. The casting down of Satan. Okay? That's the signal, right there. Begins the last 3.5 years. All right. In that day, let not the one who is on the housetop and his goods in the house go down and take them away. Likewise, let not the one who is in the field return to the things behind. Now, in Judea, you do not get any angelic help to pick you up and take you someplace in the wilderness. Jesus said, those in Judea flee to the mountains. And that's what this is. If you're out working in the field, you go. If your wife is left back, you go. If your children are left back, you go. See? And if your wife and children know, they'll likewise run out too. See? So you can all get together in the wilderness. And boy, in the wilderness of Judea, there are caves, there are valleys. And, you know, Dolores and I saw a special on it, and it was really something. And they even found a cave out there where some of the priests buried some of the things about the information where different things were in the temple and so forth. And that was really quite a find. So watch the National Geographic and the History Channel and see when those programs come on. It'll be something, because many times they fled from Judea into the mountains. Now, what about those who are not in Judea? Because there are brethren scattered all over the whole earth. All right, let's read on. We'll find out. It says, remember Lot's wife. See, she looked back, so don't look back, don't get anything if you're in Judea. Now, here's the key. How is God going to make the selection? Okay? You remember the cartoon rendition of Noah by Bill Cosby? Okay? Remember how that starts out? Noah's in there working, vroom, 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 vroom. The voice comes out, Noah, who's that? It's the Lord, Noah. I've been good. See, it's not going to be like that. Okay? Here's the key. Whoever shall seek to save his life, so much for Petra boxes in the trunk of the car, shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life, that is for Christ, shall preserve it. What does this tell you? God is the one who's going to make the selection, and the angels are going to carry out his orders. What are they going to do? All right. Verse 34. I tell you in that night, so keep in mind, night. Okay? There shall be two in one bed, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. Now, when do they grind flour? In the morning, while it's cool. Okay? One shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. Now, remember, it says up here, the one who's in the field, you don't go back to take anything. See, you run. You have to tie that together with Matthew 24. Okay. Two shall be in the field. Now this is has to be in the other areas of the country, of the world rather, other areas of the world, not in Judea. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Now, they'll be taken by the angels to the place of safety in a wilderness. Now, listen to what the disciples asked Jesus. And they asked him, saying to him, answered, saying to him, where, Lord? I mean, this is going to be a thing, huh? Okay. And he said to them, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, you know exactly where it is. Because translated, that says, it's going to be in Petra, dummy. No, it's not. You don't know. And the body is what? The body of Christ, likened to the woman. Okay. The eagles. Okay, is this the angels gathering them? See, this is almost like a rapture, but it's not a rapture to heaven. It is a carrying away to another place on the earth. Now, this is exactly what happened to Enoch and Elijah. They were both carried away from danger and then later died. They weren't carried up to the third heaven. Okay, now that's another whole topic. I'll have to do a church at home segment on that because there are a lot of people who believe, well, you know, Enoch and Elijah went to heaven. Well, when you read when you read Hebrews 11, it talks about Enoch and all the other patriarchs, and it said these all died. All right, here we go. Now, here's another lesson, too. If you don't know where the place of safety is, when you arrive, you'll find out. If you do know where it is and you don't arrive, the knowledge did you no good. See? How are the just to live? The just shall live by faith. So either way, you have to have faith in Christ. Now, what's going to happen to those who are left behind? Well, let's come to Revelation 5 and let's see what's going to happen to them. Revelation, the 5th chapter. Now, this is envisioned to tell us, or 6th chapter rather, not 5, 6th chapter, and it'll be the 5th seal. So here's what's going to happen. Remember, it says Satan is going to make war against the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, the fifth seal, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, now this is in vision, because there are no immortal souls in heaven. Okay? But this is to show the Apostle John the great martyrdom that's going to take place. And now with all the technology, we know that once those who have gone to a place of safety are gone, and Satan is absolutely angry and furious, they're going to have the means to find out who doesn't have the mark of the beast. They're going to know where you are. It won't take long to track you down. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And what was it? The testimony of Jesus Christ, correct? Yes. Slain for the word of God. What do you have in the word of God? Keeping the commandments of God, correct? See? So when you go through and read these things, you have to put the scriptures together and it'll tell the whole story. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And be sure and listen to the sermon by Michael Heiss about Redeemer and Blood Avenger. That was really an eye-opener to hear that. Okay? And white robes were given to each of them, and they were told that they should rest yet a short time. Okay? Short time, remember, it says of the serpent that was cast down, he knew that he had but a short time. Okay? Ties right in with the same time frame, see? So the fifth seal, you're going to have the first seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, real quick order. And then they're going to be looking around for all that won't obey. If you think that Hitler was frothing at the mouth, wait until the beast finds out what's happening here, and he's going after every one of them, okay? Until it be fulfilled that both their fellow servants, so it's going to include ministers, and their brethren also would be killed just as they had been. Now, you go down through history, and you look at the Inquisition is going to come again. Now, let's see about the blood of the saints here. Let's come to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, let's pick it up here in verse 5. And here is the great whore, the great world church that is coming. And across her forehead, a name written, the Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of the harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Now, who are the saints? The saints are those that have the Holy Spirit, and they are the ones who are converted. But notice the following statement. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. So there will be unconverted people who won't receive the mark of the beast, and they will likewise be killed. So we have the blood of the saints. They will be in the first resurrection. We have the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And if you read there about the Inquisition, what is that book? I've got a big, thick book on it. Yeah, Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've got the three big, thick books, and they stand about this high. And boy, they've got some things in there that are really something. And you can tell by reading it. They believed in Jesus in the way that they understood. A lot of them weren't baptized, but they just believed. And they were killed in some of the things they went through to kill them. Well, today, you know, the moral of the story is never waste a good body. There is even talk about bringing the guillotine back, because electrocution is cruel and unusual punishment. Chemical killing is cruel and unusual punishment. Hanging is cruel and unusual punishment. What do you have left? Lop off the head. Okay, you have the guillotine, you have swords, you have axes. And there's a report that they're even trying to do so in the United States. And you have one very important, useful thing with a headless body. As soon as the guillotine comes down, the head comes off. Whoever has been killed, there's nothing left. The blood gushes out, and all the organs can be harvested for transplant into other people. Now, let's come to Revelation 20. Let's read this. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the... How can you behead a soul? See? You ever thought of that? No. The soul is just the living body, the chemical, physical existence, okay? Of those who had been beheaded. Well, you have the guillotine, you have the sword, you have the axe. That's it. For the testimony of Jesus. And for the word of God. Now, isn't that what we just read? Yes. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and did not receive the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Well, these had to be the ones who were converted. Okay? So, yes, there is a place of safety, without a doubt. But not everyone is going to go there. So why are some going to be put in a wilderness place? It'll be kind of a tough existence. Will God send them manna to eat like he did when they were in the wilderness? I'm sure that the local government is not going to send canned rations and, you know, bags of beans and coffee down to them. You know, and if you're in a desert area, God is going to have to provide you with water. So if he provides water and manna and protection by the angels, you know, hey, you're going to be thankful every day. But why is God going to preserve some alive? Why not have them all killed? Just get it over with. Well, let's come back to Matthew 16 and we'll answer the question. What did Jesus say concerning his words? Back here to Matthew 16. While we're turning there, let's answer the question, what did Jesus say concerning his words? That's all of his words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. All right. So why is some of the church in a place of safety? And they lived through the Great Tribulation. Well, the answer is found right here in Matthew 16. So let's read it. Begin here in verse 13. Verse 13. Now, after coming into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus questioned his disciples, saying, "Whom do men declare me the Son of Man to be?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But you, whom do you declare me to be?" Then Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now here's a very important principle. Since there are many false prophets, many false gods, many false Jesuses, the only way you know the true Jesus is if the Father reveals it to you. Okay? Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," that means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But I say also to you that you are Peter." Now here's a play on words with the Greek. Peter in the Greek is Petros, which means a small stone, John 1:42. And this is where the Catholic Church goes to show the Pope is the rock upon which the church was built. Well, if it's the Church of Christ, it's not going to be built on the church of the Pope. And he was never appointed vicar of Christ. See? And here's why. Petros means a small stone, but continuing it says, but upon this rock, referring to himself. And if you want to know who the rock was, it says in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that Jesus was that rock that followed them in the Old Testament. Get out your handy-dandy concordance or your concordance program and look up rock through the Psalms, and you'll see how many times David refers to Christ as the rock. You read in Matthew 7 where it says that we have to build the sayings of Jesus Christ, build our spiritual lives on the rock. See? So the rock is Jesus Christ. Okay, okay. So for a clarification of that, read the whole footnote on page 977. Okay? Now, notice what else Jesus said. But upon this rock of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of the grave. Now the King James says hell. That comes from the Greek word Hades, which means the grave. Now, when you go to Revelation 20, and you have the finality of getting rid of all the incorrigible sinners, it says death and hell, in the King James, were cast into the lake of fire. Hello? Is not the lake of fire hell? Can you cast hell into hell? Doesn't make any sense. It's the grave. Death and the grave. See? There is no doctrine of an ever-burning hell in the Bible. Now, that will bring up, well, then you have to explain Luke 15. Well, I've done some sermons on that, and I might do it again, especially for church at home. Okay? Okay. And the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. All right. When you have the mass martyrdom at the end, what's going to happen? Everyone who is a Christian is going to be killed except the ones in a place of safety. So the only reason they're in a place of safety is to fulfill what Jesus said here, that the gates of the grave would never prevail against it. So after they are all martyred, now we don't know the time frame after the beginning of the Great Tribulation, how long it's going to take to martyr them. But we do know from the flow of things in Revelation 6 that it is just prior to Pentecost that the heavens are rolled back as a scroll. And then immediately after that, you have the sealing of the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude, you see. So there again, you have the last minute ones who are converted, plus you have those who are in a place of safety. So yes, the doctrine of being in a place of safety is true, but you have to have the proper time frame, see. It's not going to be with a phone call. It's not going to be a man making a selection. It's going to be with Christ making the selection and sending the angels to carry them to a place of safety. And once they are there, they're going to be thankful to be there. And I don't think anyone who says, well, we're the only church and we're going to go there, you ain't going to go, because you're seeking to save your life. And you're seeking to tell God and Christ what to do. What makes you so special that God is going to choose you? See? We all need to repent and get close to God and stop all of this nonsense and infighting. We got the doctrine. We're going to go to a place of safety because we're more righteous than anyone else. And then forbid all of the brethren in that church to have anything to do with other brethren in other churches. How's that for the love of God and love of brethren, huh? Ain't gonna go. If you're in that church and you think you're gonna go, you better get out of that church as fast as you can, and you better repent because you're not gonna go. You better be prepared so that when it comes time, you hope that they put your eyes downward so the last thing that you see will not be the guillotine. Okay? So we all need to be strengthened in that, you know, so that we can have the faith, whatever is required. Okay. The question is, what's going to happen when those who are destined to be martyred realize, especially if two of you are in one bed, the husband is taken or the wife is taken, or two in the field and one is taken? You're going to come to the realization that you're going to be martyred. And God says back in Daniel 11 that he will strengthen you with a little strength, a strength enough so that you can be the kind of witness. Because what it is this. Everyone likes to say, Jesus died for my sins. And you don't understand what he went through to die for your sins. All right? Now, you're going to be called upon to be a witness and to give a testimony and to die for Christ. Just the way it's going to be. And you can't change it. And if you're a real nice, sweet, lovey-dovey person, you better strengthen your mind and your emotions. Ask God for help and strength. He'll give it. Most of us who are gray-haired, or lack thereof, are going to be in the grave. And we'll see that after I get done with the sermon on transhumanism. How far is it going to go? Maybe a whole lot further than we ever anticipated. Okay? Now, here's the thing that is important. Okay? Let's come to Philippians, the first chapter. Here's what we need to concentrate on. All right? Don't get all morbid and say, oh, that was such a bloody sermon, you know. Why can't I have something encouraging? All right? We'll give you something encouraging. Okay? Remember what Jesus said. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Now, Philippians, the first chapter. Let's start right here in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always making supplications with joy in every prayer for you all. Good Southern expression there. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So that is whether you are faithful to the grave or faithful to the loss of your head. Either one. The good work. Now, let's answer this question. The work of God is not evangelizing. The work of God is not sending out books. That's the work of the ministry. Okay? The work of God is the work God is doing in each one of us, see. And he promises that he will complete it. I want to also give some sermons on grace so that we fully understand the grace of God. What is the difference between being under law and being under grace? We need to fully understand that because still in too many people's minds, there are too many things that relate back to how Protestants interpret that, you see. But the work that is being done, which is what Christ is doing in us, with what? With the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, that it may be within you. That's the Holy Spirit. And then he said, if you love me, the one who loves me will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we Christ and the Father will come to him and make our abode with him. Now that's the greatest grace and the greatest work that we can receive in this life. Okay? Now let's come back just a few pages here to Ephesians, the second chapter, okay? Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is especially not of your own selves. It's not because you are righteous. It's not because you chose Jesus. It's because Jesus chose you. See? Regardless of what the circumstances are. Yes, you had to seek. You had to knock. You had to ask. And God promised that he would hear. Okay? It is the gift of God. And gift also comes from the root word of grace. Not of works. That is, works that you initiate yourself so that no one may boast. Now, just for verse 9, either make a note, just put the word Job right next there. See? Okay? Job had all kinds of good works, and he thought how good he was, and he did not ascribe them to God. That was his sin. He said, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other thing, and God needs to recognize what I've done. Well, you know what happened to him. He had to come to repentance. And he thought he was sinless. See? So what happened when he repented? Then God's work was being done within him. See? Okay, now let's notice. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God ordained beforehand in order that we might walk in them. So every Christian has to have good works. Where do those come from? The Holy Spirit. What is God doing to us with his Spirit? Well, that's why we pray. That's why we study. That's why we go through the scriptures, and today we've got the whole Bible, so look at how much responsibility is laid upon us, eh? Okay? Now, this means that we grow in the fruits of the Spirit, love and hope and joy and peace and long-suffering and self-control and all of that, and then we grow in love and in faith and in hope and build the character of God. And that can only come with the Holy Spirit within. So we are the workmanship of God, see? Not what a corporation that is doing, a church corporation, not because someone has written something, but because God's Spirit works with you in your mind and is changing and is converting you. That's why Sabbath keeping is a day of grace, because we enter into Sabbath services and the Sabbath day spiritually through prayer, through study, and we come to Sabbath services so we can learn. See, God wants the church to be edified, to be upbuilded with the Word of God. God adds the Spirit. God adds the repentance to each individual. God gives growth in everyone's life so that they can have the good works. And that's how God is creating in us the spiritual character, so that when the resurrection comes, we will be raised as spirit beings. And the truth is, God is the author of transhumanism, in the sense that our bodies at the resurrection are going to be transformed to be like Christ's body. So Satan has his transhumanism. And wait till you find out what that'll be. Okay. So that's the Bible teaching on a place of safety. If we go there, we'll rejoice when we get there, and sleep on the stones as if it's an air mattress. So we'll say we're done for today. For our overseas offices, please check our website, cbcg.org.